Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 347 of the podcast. We're really racking them up, huh? Today is Sunday, February 4th. Already into February, if you can believe it or not. Starting to warm up a little bit here in Florida. Listen, guys, if you're looking to get a little bit more energy, but you don't want to overdo the caffeine, if it makes you anxious or whatever the case, check out Magic Mind. I got off of coffee a few months ago and I discovered Magic Mind. It's a productivity shot. It's made with matcha, so it's got a tiny bit of caffeine in it. And it's got nootropics in it, which help you focus. 7 hours of flow state to help you get things done. There's a link in the show notes, wherever you may be watching or listening, consuming the podcast. If you want to check this out, use my link. You can use my promo code MMARocks20. Save yourself 20%. I believe it's good for another week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. So this stuff can get pretty pricey. So make sure you use that 20% off MMARocks20. But I'm not going to drink any of that now because otherwise I'll be awake until Tuesday. Just kidding, but I'm going to pour myself some of this Old Forester 100 proof rye right now. This is going to be my drink of the evening. Old Forester, you guys probably know, one of my favorite distilleries. I love pretty much everything they make. So cheers to you all. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a really fun weekend. Last night, I was up in Newport Richie, Florida, judging some amateur fights, amateur MMA, Muay Thai, and boxing fights. And it was a blast. I think this was the sixth or seventh one that I've gone and done the judging for Vigilant. So I must be doing something right because they keep asking me back. So I appreciate the opportunity from Brandon and everybody at Vigilant who, you know, invites me to come back. It's such a good time. It's great to see, you know, the young amateurs who are coming up in the sport. It's great to see Muay Thai fights going on. You guys know I'm a longtime Muay Thai practitioner, so it's awesome to see that. And the boxing fights are great too. Something that was a little weird, they had a fight that was billed as a bare knuckle fight, right? And this was by no fault of the promotion with Vigilant, but the idea was they see that some people are starting to go pro as bare knuckle boxers. So there should be an amateur level as well. But the rules that were put forward, I guess, by the state are that they have to wear 4 ounce MMA gloves and no headgear. So it's billed as amateur bare knuckle boxing, but they had to wear MMA gloves, and the fights were 2 1.5 minute rounds. It was very strange. It did not go the distance, so it didn't matter anyway, but it would have been difficult to judge because only a 2 round fight, you know, if each fighter wins a round, then you just have a draw every time. But again, no fault of the promoter. That's just, you know, it's something he's trying to do. And credit to him, credit to Brandon Lee, because he's willing to keep an open mind all the time and always looking for new ways to give young fighters opportunities. And that's what I love about the Vigilant promotion. Aside from the fact that, you know, they let me come and sit right in front of the cage for some awesome fights. It was a pretty easy night for me, not a whole lot of decisions. So I think only like 4 out of 11 fights went to decision, something like that. It was very few. And most of them were pretty easy. The main event was razor close. It was a title fight, an MMA title fight. And it was one of the toughest fights I had to score because on the one hand, you had a strong wrestler who was holding his opponent up against the cage for a lot of the fight, not really doing a lot of damage. But when he would break away from the cage, he was having success with his hands. The other fighter was really trying to pursue damage, not having a lot of success. So it was tough. Every round was kind of a coin toss, except for the third round, went to the young man in the blue corner and wound up being a split decision, and it happens. And I loved having this experience again, because it reminds me what a hard job judging is. You know, we're so quick, those of us in the MMA space, we're so quick to jump all over the judges when there's a bad decision. Man, I can't imagine being a UFC judge. It's so hard, especially, you know, over the course of a round, you're trying to remember everything that happened in 5 minutes, right? And at the end of the round, you've got to just quickly score it. And then at the end of the fight, you got to tally everything up. And it's hard not to be influenced by things around you, right? Especially at like these local fights. I could have a fighter's family sitting right behind me where I'm judging, and they're screaming every time he does something. And I'm like, did he really do something effective, or am I being influenced by the crowd behind me? And those thoughts go through my head, and I have to try to block it out and just focus on what's going on inside the cage. And yeah, it makes me have a lot more understanding when there are some poor decisions in the UFC. You know, human error is a real thing. And that's why it's fortunate that there are three judges for every fight. And yeah. But being a judge for fights has definitely given me a new perspective on that. And again, I'm thankful for that. All right. For those of you who saw the interview last week with undefeated BKFC fighter Ryan Reber, he did have his fight at BKFC 57 on Friday night, and he did get his hand raised, but it was not without some turmoil. Ryan is a buddy of mine. We've trained together for several years now. He got his ass beat in the first two rounds, man. He got beat from pillar to post. Perez grabbed a hold of his neck and was just drilling him, just pounding knuckles into his face. I was damn close to counting him out of that fight. And then out of nowhere, he started turning it around in the third round. When he was on the show here, he said, if you want to take my O, meaning his undefeated record, you got to give me everything you've got. And Perez definitely gave him everything he had. He emptied the tank on Ryan's face. And that tough son of a bitch ate it all and came back with a TKO win, standing TKO in the fourth round over Derek Perez, who's a super tough guy. So super proud of Ryan. 5-0 now in BKFC. He was ranked number 3 going into this, so he's looking to get a title shot, and we're definitely going to hope for that for him going forward. And let's get him back here on the show to talk about it in the near future. But man, as his friend, I wish he could have accomplished it a little differently without the beating he took in the first couple of rounds. But hey, man, a win's a win. And he's still 5-0, and he's a tough bastard. He definitely improved that. I think he got a performance of the night bonus. So congratulations to Royal Ryan Reber. You guys heard him here on the show last week, so you know what an energetic and likable dude he is. As far as the rest of the BKFC 57 card, it was okay. In the main event, former boxing champion Austin Trout defeated Luis Palomino, who was 9-0 in BKFC. He was a two-division champion. He was the consensus, I guess, pound for pound best fighter in BKFC. And Austin Trout just kind of toyed with him for the duration of this fight. It seemed like Trout didn't really get touched very much. Palomino maybe won one round out of the five-round fight. But yeah, so now Austin Trout is the champ, and he's 2-0 in bare knuckles. So congrats to him. But, you know, Lewis is a tough dude. I'm sure he's going to be back. I think that's all I got on the bare knuckle stuff. There was nothing else that really jumped out at me on that card. We can get into the UFC, which I'm going to do my best here, guys. I'm going to do my best to try and, I guess, stay positive with this one. Because, and I hate being this guy, because you hear so much of this with the fight nights, but it wasn't a great card, man. And I had to watch it. I had to watch it kind of late at night because I got back from judging the fights. I guess like 45, excuse me. Whoa, frog in my throat. Let's drown him. I was like 45 minutes north of where I live to judge these amateur fights. So I got home and had a little something to eat while I put on the fights. I started it at the main card and kind of worked my way backwards. And there were a lot of unfortunate things that happened on this card. And let's just get into, I guess we'll start at the main event. So Nasruddin Imavov gets the majority decision win. It seemed like it was going to be over in the first round, right? Easily a 10-8 round for Imavov. He beat the shit out of Dalidze. I think he landed a couple head kicks, and it looked like he was just going to cruise. Dalidze did come back a little bit, showed some of that signature toughness. But man, there was one point where I was watching this fight and all I could think about was just going to bed. And that's no disrespect to these guys. They're both super tough competitors, but it was late and I was just not feeling it. I don't know, man. If you guys have a different opinion about it, let me know if I need to go back and give this one another shot. But oof, it had its moments, but it was mostly a snoozer. So Imavov, who was ranked number 11, I guess is probably going to swap places with Dalidze, who was ranked number 8. It's going to be a tough sell to give Imavov one of these top 5 guys in a division that's kind of oddly log-jammed right now. We don't fully know what's going on. We don't know if Adesanya is definitely coming back. You know, you have Robert Whittaker and Paulo Costa are going to fight, you know, if Costa can stay healthy. And then, you know, you have Sean Strickland, who just lost the title. But he's already fought Imavov. So I don't know. They're not going to put that one together. And then the only other people ahead of him are Marvin Vettori and Brendan Allen. So I guess we could do Imavov and Marvin Vettori, but if I'm being totally honest with you guys, I don't really give a shit. Like, I just, there wasn't anything that about this fight that really made me want to see either of these guys fight in the near future. And that could change, you know. I'll chalk it up to I was watching it late at night and I was tired. It was a long day and I definitely did just want to go to bed. But yeah, that's where I stand as of right now. Is like, I don't give a shit. But I'm open. You know, if you guys tell me, Bill, you need to go back and rewatch that fight and really think about what's next for Imavov, then I'll listen. Maybe. Or maybe I won't. All right. Co-main event. This one surprised me. Renato Moicano, pretty dominant win over Drew Dober. If you guys listened to Picks and Pours on Thursday, Matt the Mechanic had picked Drew Dober, and I couldn't disagree with him because I saw Dober as having the better striking, and I didn't think Moicano's wrestling would be strong enough to get Dober down and keep him there. And I was way wrong about that. I mean, his wrestling was more than good enough to get Drew Dober down and more than good enough to hold him down. It wasn't without taking some damage. I mean, it looks like he got a pretty good pop over the eye. His eye was pretty swollen at the end of it. But yeah, Moicano is showing that he's no joke in this lightweight division. He's probably going to be ranked come Tuesday morning. Drew Dober was ranked number 15 going into this, so he's probably going to take his spot. Although I don't know why. Oh, wait. Moicano was ranked ahead of him. Sorry. Yeah, so Moicano was ranked 13th. Although I don't know why Drew Dober was in the top 15 and Matt Frivola is not, when Frivola knocked him out pretty bad. So let's see. I mean, Moicano and Jalen Turner would be interesting. Moicano and Beneil Dariush, I think, is probably the fight to make going forward. And Drew Dober is probably going to have to fight somebody outside of the top 15. Maybe the loser of Bobby Green and Jim Miller. Something like that would be interesting. A rematch with Drew Dober and Bobby Green would be fun because that was a fantastic fight. You know what? Now that I'm looking at this, Renato Moicano and Mateusz Gamrot. That would be a fun fight. If you're into grappling, that would be a fun grappler versus grappler. But, yeah, I have to admit, I was wrong. I didn't think Moicano would have the wrestling to deal with Drew Dober, and clearly he did. So, you know, I've always considered myself a person who can admit when I was wrong. And I was definitely wrong because I didn't see a way for Moicano to win that fight. And he did quite handily. Randy Brown looked really good against Muslim Salikov. And I thought Randy Brown would win this fight. I think Matt and I both picked him on Thursday. But I didn't see him knocking him out in the first round. I thought maybe he would grind him down, deal with the wild shots in the first round, avoid those, and then, you know, grind out a victory. I didn't see this huge knockout coming. And it was set up beautifully by first poking him in the eye and putting him off his game plan. But no, the actual knockout was nice. The double jab into the big right hand, it was textbook. It caught him right across the chin and put him down. It was a beautiful performance by Randy Brown. So let's see. What do you give Randy Brown next? Maybe like a Michael Chiesa? Let's give him somebody at the bottom of this top 15. Fakhretdinov. Neil Magny's still in the top 15. You know, he pulled out. Or Randy Brown and Mike Malott. That would be a fun fight. Sign me up for that one. Let's do that. Natalia Silva, just a step ahead of Viviane Araújo the whole night. This one went down pretty much how we anticipated. You know, Silva just picking Araujo apart from the outside, and she was just too quick. She was, like I said, a step ahead the whole time and just had some real snap on her punches too. She was popping Araujo's head back a couple of times. Great performance. And let's see what could be next for her, for Silva. Let's look at the women's flyweight division. So she was ranked number 9 going into this. Araujo was ranked number 7. They're going to flip places there. I'd like to see Natalia Silva and Macy Barber, personally. And if we can't get that, let's get Silva and Caitlin Chookagian, maybe. Yes? No? I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't necessarily know what I'm talking about most of the time, so feel free to disagree with me. All right. Here was an unfortunate circumstance. Mahmoud Muradov gets poked in the eye 11 seconds into the fight by Alyaskab Kizraev. It was bad, man. Like he went like 2 knuckles deep into Muradov's eye and probably scraped the hell out of a lot of layers on his eyeball. It was swollen shut almost instantly. And, you know, Herb Dean was giving him every opportunity to say, like, you want to take some time? You want to take some time? And Muradov was kind of like, look at my eye, dude. Like, it's, this thing ain't going to get any better in 5 minutes. And he was right. It wasn't going to. So they had to call that off. I wonder if that's a record for a no contest, 11 seconds into the fight. Somebody look that up for me and let me know. I would be very interested. If I had Matt here, he would know. And then Chuck Buffalo with a big first round knockout over Gilbert Urbina. I believe Matt also picked Chuck Buffalo to win. Nobody was more nervous about Chuck Buffalo winning than Daniel Cormier, because Chuck even asked him when he got on the microphone. He's like, are you nervous, DC? Because of the unsavory comments he had the last time DC had to interview him in the cage. We won't get into the things he said, but it was not very appropriate, not family friendly. And that's coming from me. You guys know I have a bit of a potty mouth sometimes. But I wouldn't be caught saying the things that Chuck Buffalo said. We'll put it that way. Leave it at that. He's got a nice hook. He was flashing in and out of the pocket beautifully. Nice footwork. He kept Urbina guessing. It was also an eye poke in this match, I believe, as well, early on. Urbina took a poke. And that's it. Took a poke, and then he took a stroke, and he hit the mat. All right, Molly McCann. This is the last fight I'll get into, I think. Molly McCann defeats Diana Belvita with 1 second left in the first round. Submits her by armbar. It was a nasty one, too. She was twisting her arm all over the place. I think Molly McCann looked good at strawweight. You know, she's had a history of missing weight in the past, and I know that's redundant, history in the past, but whatever. It's live. I can't edit it now. So if she's gotten her diet in order, gotten a good nutritionist, and straw weight is going to be the place for her now, I thought she looked good. She looked fit. She looked ripped. It's the best shape we've seen her in, I think. And let's see. What can we do with her at strawweight? Maybe a fight with Angela Hill would make sense. Or maybe someone like a Tabitha Ricci. Somewhere in that ballpark. Possibly even a Michelle Watterson Gomez. I don't know. I wonder what happened in the women's strawweight division, because every single fighter in the rankings has a green up arrow next to their name. I don't know what happened here. Did somebody get removed from the rankings? I don't see Rose Namajunas' name on here. So is it possible that Rose Namajunas is no longer on the roster? Or was she removed from the rankings due to inactivity? What's going on? Where's Thug Rose? Somebody let me know. Did she change divisions and didn't tell anybody? We need answers, people. We need answers. Did I just discover something by accident here? Just looking at the rankings? Mark Phillips thinks she possibly moved up in weight, but she's not in the flyweight rankings. Very curious, my friends. Very curious indeed. So every fighter from one down has a green arrow, so they all moved up a spot. And Rose Namajunas no longer in the strawweight rankings. Am I breaking news here? Is it possible? Does this mean I'm finally going to get invited on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani? Tell me I beat Ariel to the scoop. Reach out to Thug Rose. Somebody tell her I want to talk to her. Let's get this in ink, shall we? Let's see. Themba Gorombino with a big TKO 32 seconds into the first round over Pete Rodriguez. And I'm not going to get into any of the rest of this. So that'll do. All right. Let's take a quick peek at next week. Of course, if you guys haven't been tuning in for the past couple of weeks, then you may not know that I also do episodes on Thursday evenings now, around 9 or 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, with my buddy Matt the Mechanic, who I have trained jiu-jitsu with for many years. I think about 5 years. We've been buddies and trained together for a long time. He usually comes over to watch the big pay-per-views and things like that. And he approached me with an idea for a new segment on the show where Thursday nights we would do little breakdowns of the upcoming card and he would make some picks and I would get to make fun of him for it. So never being able to pass up on the opportunity to make fun of a friend on a public platform, I said, sure, let's do it. So for the last 13 or 14 weeks or so, that's what we've been doing. We call it picks and pours, where we pour some whiskey and we talk about our picks for the week. We also have a little segment called Hot Take or Take a Shot, in which Matt will present me with a hot take, an MMA hot take, and I have to change his mind. And if I can't, I have to take a disgusting shooter shot like this Jim Beam orange I had to drink last week. That was so gross. And the only thing worse than the actual whiskey was the aftertaste of said whiskey. But tune in for that. We have a lot of fun on the Thursday night show. And it will also make the Sunday shows a little shorter, I guess. But I'm excited for this main event. UFC Fight Night 236 or UFC Vegas 86. I guess it will be, however you're counting. UFC Apex again. So it's going to be Jack Hermansson and Joe Pyfer. I don't know if you guys heard Joe Pyfer on the Joe Rogan podcast. Have you guys heard of the Joe Rogan podcast? It's pretty popular. You should check it out sometime. In any case, Joe Pyfer was on there a week or two ago, and Rogan didn't even know that Joe was fighting. He's like, oh, when's your next fight? He's like, oh, like 2 weeks fighting Jack Hermansson. Oh, cool, man. So Joe has got a hell of a punch. Supposedly, he broke the record at the UFC PI for the punch measuring machine that they have there. Francis Ngannou had the record, and supposedly Joe Pyfer blew Francis's record out of the water with whatever he was able to. I don't know the exact numbers, but you guys can look at Joe Pyfer's Instagram or listen to the episode with Joe Rogan if you want that information. So he's got some mean punching power behind him, but this will definitely be a big step up in competition for him. So he's been able to finish everybody he's faced in the UFC, including his contender series fight. Three finishes in the UFC over Alan Amadovsky, Gerald Merchart, and Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, who he submitted. But Jack Hermansson is another level. Very experienced, not the biggest middleweight, but he's been in there with some big power punchers and been able to survive, and he's very crafty, is Jack Hermansson. So this will be an interesting fight. Co-main event, Dan Ige and Andre Feely. I think that's a really fun one. I don't know how you don't love that fight. And let me hop around a little bit. Gregory Rodriguez, Brad Tavares, I think is a good fight. Brad Tavares, man, is a good fighter. You know, he kind of fell into like this weird journeyman role, but I mean, 20-8 is no joke at this stage of the game. That's a good solid record. Michael Johnson on this card, Armin Petrosian and Rodolfo Vieira. That's a fun middleweight fight. A lot of exciting middleweight fights going on lately. And let's see. Matt the Mechanic's going to have a fun time butchering some of these names on Thursday. It's going to be fun. Devin Clark and Marcin Prachnio is a fun fight. And I'm also looking at, way down on the prelims, Max Griffin and Jeremiah Wells. That is an excellent fight. Definitely looking forward to that one. And then light heavyweights, Zach Piuga and Bogdan Guskov. Anyone named Bogdan has to be a tough son of a bitch. I'm just convinced of that. Yeah, this dude, he looks like a cross between Anthony Smith and Fedor. Let me see if I can get a picture of this guy up on the screen for you all here. Look at this dude. Yeah. Tell me he doesn't look like a cross between Anthony Smith and Fedor. He's from Uzbekistan. Yeah. No thanks. I don't think I want to get in there with that guy. But, you know, Zach Piuga is a tough dude as well. All right. Fun fight card, I think. I think I'm more excited for this card than I was for the Dalidze Imavov. I think that's pretty safe to say. But, you know, we'll get into it further on Thursday with Matt the Mechanic. So make sure you guys are subscribed on YouTube or Facebook or wherever you watch or wherever you listen, and turn on your notifications so you can catch the show live. It's always more fun when we have some people on the live show to interact with. And if you guys want to grab some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, I always forget to do this in the beginning. Reaper1.co is still the place to get it. MMA Rocks 10 saves you 10%. The links are all in the show notes, YouTube, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever you call it, Google, all that stuff. Yeah, you can find the link and you can get yourself an over the top, under the influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. And gosh, yeah, short episode tonight, but I didn't have a whole lot to talk about. Or I guess I did. Maybe I just was talking fast. In any case, that's all I got. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.